Josh Crow, who was set to call in about a month or so ago, just got caught up with something on a Saturday. He's going to call in today in about an hour, wherever you are, about an hour from now. Josh Crow will call in. We're going to talk about Bridging the Gap, the Crow Brothers album from last year, which is still doing really well. And we'll play a couple cuts from that before he gets here. I just told everyone when Josh didn't make it that he was abducted by aliens. I think it makes a better storyline than he forgot. But he's going to call in today, and if he was abducted by aliens, and just think of what we have to talk about. And Josh Crow, how you doing, Josh?
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm so glad to hear from you again.
Yeah, well, it's good to talk to you again. I know. I think the first time we met was when I met you at Richwood Opry there back a month or two ago or something.
Oh, yeah. It was. You were on your way up to the Mac.
Right.
And we chatted for a while, and then we tried to get you in here about a month ago, and things got twisted around. I just told everybody that listened in that you were probably abducted by aliens, and they were okay with that.
They probably wished it was.
I think it would make a much better storyline for when you did come back.
Yeah, that's it, man.
So you went on up to the Mac then from the last time I saw you, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We went on up to the Mac, did that great show up there. That's a big thing to do, and we were glad to be a part of it this year, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you making the time to call back in, and we were talking right before I put you online, on the air, by the way, that this Bridging the Gap album, which you guys, the Crow Brothers, did last year, right? That's a 2011 release on Rural Rhythm Records, right?
Right, yeah. It was October was the release date. It's not quite a year old yet, and it usually takes... And it seems like the bluegrass world takes, 6 or 8 months to kind of get its legs under it, you know what I'm saying? But once it kind of gives you an idea of how it's going to be done, you know, that sort of thing. So seems to be doing pretty good so far.
Well, I opened my Bluegrass Unlimited yesterday, and I would say doing pretty good. It's pretty good for an album coming up on a year. Bridging the Gap, the album itself, is number 14 on the National Bluegrass Survey. That's pretty good.
That is, yep. Yes, that's pretty good, yeah.
And then a tune that I like to play, I've played every Saturday since I got my hands on it from that album, He Could Pick the Hound. Then I usually follow it with a real quick banjo number. He Could Pick the Hound is number 17 on
the
single.
Well, that's good. And, people like you, you know, playing bluegrass and doing what you do is what helps us get where we're at in those charts and what have you. So glad that it's doing well and still doing well, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
appreciate you for doing what you do.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate the good music. I still have one burning question, Josh, and you'll remember what this is as soon as I can figure a way to put it to you. When I saw you last, right as you started strumming, the strap to your guitar, the pin to your guitar strap broke.
It did, yes. it broke. First time that's ever happened. That's a freak happening. I've been in the business, all these years, and I've had a pin pull out, but I've never had one break in two like that one did. And so I was just there and didn't have any choice but to prop my leg up on a chair and play the rest of the night.
Well, I remember there was a hue and cry throughout the whole venue if anyone had any super glue.
Yeah, well, and we tried that, but it didn't work. The super glue didn't work. But the next day, to tell a quick story there, which I'm still using it right now until I get my guitar, get time to take it in and have a little work done on it. But Brother Wayne there, we stopped at a Walmart or somewhere and got what you call a dowel rod. You know what a dowel rod is?
Oh, sure.
Wood,
yeah.
We got that and carved a end piece out to use, and it's working so well. I hadn't changed it just yet, but I've got to get my guitar into the man that I'll let work on it and let him do the right job on it. But that was a freak happening that night.
Well, I will tell you this, some people came in about halfway through the show, and I was kind of wandering around at the back at the time, and they came in and they remarked to me that how neat it was that you were so casual that you played with one foot on your chair the whole time.
Well, I'm glad they felt that way. It didn't feel that way to me.
It didn't look that way, but I'm thinking you might want to sneak that into your regular routine.
Yeah, well, I stood there half the night with one leg asleep and the other kind of didn't know what to do with.
Oh, which one was asleep, the one up on the chair?
Well, the other one I had to stand on.
Oh, okay.
But I'll avoid on that night was the one that gave me so much wanting to go to sleep on me. But anyway,
you pulled it off great. You pulled it off great. I mean, people thought it was really neat that you were putting that casual feel to the whole show.
So I had a good little time at that little show there that night. Maybe we can stop back through there again one of these days on our way back up that part of the country.
Hey, listen, I know the story of Maggie Valley and your involvement. As a matter of fact, one of the tunes that I often play off of the Bridge and the Gap CD is that song that references Maggie Valley. And just for any of the listeners out there that may not know the whole story, fill us in a little bit on your connection with Maggie Valley, if you could.
Well, that song, the Maggie Valley song, I wrote that several years ago, and it was the year that the year I wrote that song was whenever the Stomping Ground, the big barn where we play at on a pretty regular basis through the season, when they started the TV show, The Fire on the Mountain. You remember that? TNN network?
Sure.
And that first year, I wrote this song just riding up the road in my, up through the middle of the little town of Maggie Valley, and it just came to me there in about 10 minutes. You know, it's one of those deals where most of the songs I've ever written, I did that, you know, came to me in about 10 minutes, and if I could get it wrote down, I was in good shape. If I didn't, I probably lost another 50 of those type of songs, you know, but not being able to write them down quick. But that particular one, that's kind of how it came to me, and didn't get it recorded until about 5 or 6 years later, you know, and it was back when, I think they called the charts back then the Grassometer charts or something, back when it first started, keeping up with the bluegrass and number one songs or whatever, you know. And that's kind of how it happened back then with that song. And it just took off. And it's been a popular song out on the bluegrass festival circuit as well as, by being recorded, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and that's the full title of that, and I kind of butchered it a little trying to talk about it, is The Winds Are Blowing in Maggie Valley.
The Winds Are Blowing in Maggie Valley, yeah.
That's a good song. It tells a good story, too. Yep. So where are you guys right now? What are you doing?
Well, I'm actually I'm in Georgia, back home, seeing where my dad lives at or whatever, and I came down this morning for a little while. I had the day off, and I came down here. Actually, the other boys at Picking Music was buddies back home at the fair up there, but I had some time off, so I came down to do a few things I wanted to do today. But our next shows on the road will actually be, we're up in West Virginia, I guess, here in a couple of weeks at the a festival called the Pig in the Panhandle. That's up in the Panhandle of West Virginia, I guess, up there's where that's up in, Maryland, kind of the northern part of West Virginia.
Up that away.
Yeah, and the next major festival, the next weekend of that, will be in Kodak, Tennessee at the Dublin Valley Bluegrass Festival is what they call that.
Okay.
And that's just out of Knoxville, Tennessee, about 25 miles east of Knoxville. So,
Another CD, Josh, that I've had a lot of fun with here on the program is one that I picked up from you that night. It has the longest title, I think, in the history of recorded music because it goes like this. And I played a lot of this from because there's a lot of good people in this. The whole title is this, and I bought this from you, and you ought to have some input in the shortening of this title. But here's the title, 55-Year Celebration, Rural Rhythm, Graves Mountain, the All-Star Jam. The title goes on and on forever, but so much great music, and you're on there with a lot of great musicians, and the Lonesome River Band is all over that place, and Lou Reed and Audie Blaylock, and Carl Jackson sneaks in there and picks a little bit.
He is, yeah. And Carl actually wrote that I guess you'd call it the theme song for that record or whatever there, but that album had like 5 IBMA nominations last year or whatever. So, pretty good live recording,
Well, and you kick it off with More Pretty Girls Than One, which I play on here almost on a regular basis. And then, there's Russell Moore and Third Time Out, the Crow Brothers, Lonesome River.
Right.
Mark Newton, Lou Reed, Kerry Hassler, and it was all emceed by Kyle Cantrell from XM. That's a good one. That's a good one. You turned me on to a good one there when you were shoving CDs in my hand. That they're all good, but that's one that I play a lot out of.
Yeah, that's a good record there. It's got a lot of good versatility on it there. there, and like you said, it's got that live feel to it that a lot of folks like to still hear these days, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hearing that live stage performance or whatever, so.
Well, and it kind of goes back to that whole thing, Josh, where you're, it's a little thing, it sounds like a little thing, but if all of a sudden your guitar isn't hanging right, you got to improvise.
And, yeah, you know, that's right, yeah, yeah.
And what you did that night, again, I'm not talking about rocket science here, but because you're on the stage and because you're professional, because you put on a live show and you do it so well, the Crow Brothers are so good live. I mean, people talk about the great family harmonies, and you guys deliver all that stuff live. And even with something like that, you just roll with it and you adjust and you just keep going.
Yeah, just roll with the flow. That's about all you can do in a situation like that. And, you know, just make the best out of what's going on and not let it hinder the show. That's the other thing, you know, is just make it work into the show. And so it did, and it wasn't a big ordeal, and worked out pretty good that night.
Hey, I have a question for you about this whole harmony idea, the family harmony thing, and we all talk about it, and we know there's some special thing that happens within families, but I asked, the Roys called in here about a week or so ago, and asked them how they knew, and I'm going to ask you, how did you know that you and your brother were singing harmony? Did you study it, or did you just do it? How did it come about?
Well,